Well, hello, darlings. Happy post full moon in Scorpio. How has the week been for you? Personally, I felt the pressure steam start to be released from the pressure cooker. What about you? I have, personally. It's been a very deep vortex, like, hello, April, what the fuck were you? But you have taken us to some edges, our own identity edges. And it's been like a catalyst, a deep, deep catalyst for change. I don't know about you, but I'm coming out of April very, very different than I went in April. I'm a different person. Everything feels upgraded. And whilst I'm physically not running yet, my knee is slowly, you know, coming good. I still can't straighten it. I'm on my bed at the moment with both legs out, and that right knee is still just not quite there yet. But I've been seeing my physio and all the things, doing all the things. So my osteo, you know, getting the good stuff. But I want to know how you're feeling. How are you feeling? Last week, it was such a beautiful podcast, and I got so many messages. Thank you. Thank you so much. It must have hit just right, you know. Something is shifting. Something is changing. I can feel it. It's palpable. And the last few podcasts, actually, that I've put out, I've got quite a lot of messages about them. So I just want to say thank you. You know, I read them. If you're emailing me, thank you. And like I've always said, it's always me doing everything. So if I'm not responding to you, please know it's just because it's me doing absolutely everything. And I sometimes just don't have the capacity to respond and reply to absolutely everything that comes my way. But I do read it, darlings. And I actually did go on to share a couple of people's comments around last week's podcast, because they were just really sweet and beautiful and timely and connected and authentic and real and in a beautiful reflection of what was going on. And I really appreciated that. So I did, you know, get permission, and I just shared them in my stories for that little 24 hours on Instagram. So I wanted to bow down and say thank you so much. I had many more people come in after I shared those few stories to share how the podcast landed for them last week. So, you know, it might be one to go back and listen to if you haven't listened to it. But thank you. I really, really am humbled that I just get to show up here and be who I am, and that you feel my heart. And, you know, so many of the messages, if you listen to last week's podcast, because I am, you know, this Cancer moon and I want to hold and protect and do all the things. And so many people were just messaging going, I just feel safe with you. And, you know, this platform and this is all just so incredible. So thank you. I see you, I witness you, and we're a part of this beautiful community together. So I'm so very grateful. Thank you. And here we are, post full moon eclipse, which was a deep one, which was very cathartic. If you were contemplating life and death, you were right on cue. I think that over this next 2 weeks, as I've shared, you know, the new moon in Taurus that will now build on May the 8th will be a real pop. May is a pretty delicious month. And, you know, I'm always going to say that because I'm a Taurus born in May. However, I'm not just biased. I'm also very objective and able to look at things as they are, right? And yeah, you know, like May is, this year is a bit exponential because we've had the Jupiter. So we're still in the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is superseding our Taurus season. Venus will enter back home on the 29th, back, so she moves into Taurus. And I did a couple of posts last week. If you haven't checked out my Instagram, what are you doing? Go over and check it out. Taurus season is Algol season, is Medusa season, because of the fixed demon star Algol at 26 degrees of Taurus. It's a fixed star, so everyone will have Algol at 26 degrees of Taurus. And if you've got planets close to that, so 25 degrees, 26 degrees, or 27 degrees Taurus, you know, there's this strong association. And I did a bit of a write-up. Go and check it out, because I could spend 6 hours talking about Algol and Medusa and just this very potent energy, which it is. You know, it's a malefic fixed star. It's very interesting with the way it blinks in its rotation of astronomy, like research it. It's a really cool star, but it's got to do, it's literally Medusa's head, in the Perseus constellation, as Perseus had, Perseus cut Medusa's head off through the shield of Athena. I mean, it's an incredible story, and one that I'm diving deeply into in my 4-week container, which starts in July, Medusa's Mansion. Because what we're getting this year is something that will never happen again. Firstly, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Taurus hasn't happened for 84 years, since 1941. So again, over the last few weeks, I've been talking a lot about that. We've been in eclipse, the eclipse portal. Eclipse season has officially ended on this Scorpio full moon. You can check back to the last couple of podcasts if you really want to anchor into some of what I've been sharing about that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which I'm sure you've listened to everywhere else as well. So we've got this as the underpin of this Taurus season. Now, Jupiter hasn't been in Taurus for 12 years. So every 12 years, Jupiter will come into Taurus and move through Taurus, which is always delicious and fertile and juicy. And it's really about us experiencing life. And we're about to close this up, darling. So you want to drink this in for the next few weeks, because May is next week. What are we today? The 26th of April, as I'm recording this. We've literally got a few days left of April and we're into May. Interestingly enough, Medusa, our goal, Medusa is the snakes. She has the snakes on her head, which Athena cast because of what happened in Athena's temple, which was Poseidon raping Medusa. And the story is huge, and oh my God, oh my God, I could talk forever. But May is the month of the snake in Chinese astrology. So very fascinating. Again, I wrote like just a little bit of an overview on my Instagram page. You'll see the Medusa picture, and that's where I've just put a little bit of these bits of information, because in my Medusa's Mansion container, which is a limited space purely because I've got to post like little parcels out to everyone, and I like to keep those month-long containers intimate because it's quite deep work that we do. So ultimately, of course, everything's on tiani.com.au. All of my either live masterclasses or pre-recorded masterclasses, darlings, are on my masterclasses tab on my website. So there's a heap there that you can literally go and purchase right now and watch them immediately. And then you've got the live ones that you sign up for, and we actually do them live together. And Medusa's Mansion is one of them. And because Jupiter hasn't been in Taurus for 12 years, Jupiter will hit the fixed star of our goal every 12 years. Uranus, obviously, hasn't been in Taurus for 84 years, and he will also hit our goal. Now, this is a signature of 2024. I have written about this in my 2024 overview, so go back and check the astrology signatures section, which is the beginning. I sort of talk about my kits as like the front section, and then where the months begin. So the front section of my 2024 kit is filled with pages and pages of information on, yes, the astrology signatures, retrogrades, keywords for the retrogrades, the times, the Chinese year, the numerology years, general astro overview, the Chinese year of the dragon. Like, it's just it's a joy. It is my pleasure to bring you a book every single year to prep you for the year ahead. So if you've got my 2024 Energy Survival Kit, pop back to the front section and read about the Uranus Algol conjunction, because it is a signature of this year. And if you don't, the digital copy is available, darlings. You can just go on and buy it for like $35, and you get 200 pages of goodness that you can still use and utilize, and get all of this information downloaded. You download it straight away and it's yours. And in the container, we're going to really work deeply with this signature. And if you've got a really strong Medusa connection, or if you've got a strong planet conjunct Algol at 26 Taurus, you'll probably feel very invited to do this. This is around facing the monster within. This is around, this is very powerful transformational energy. Algol is seen as a demon star, malefic by nature, but also a lot of famous people have strong Algol signatures. whether it's their ascendant or midheaven that's conjunct 26 Taurus or close to 26 Taurus, their sun, moon, you know, any, you know, planets that are hitting that. So the reason I curate these bespoke containers is purely because, well, A, I have Venus exactly conjunct our goal. You know, again, as you know, I would never teach or invite you into something that I don't live and experience and embody. I can't do it. I wouldn't be able to do it. It's just not something that I can do. I can't live like that. I wouldn't, that would just go against every cell of my being to pretend to be something that I'm not. So this is curated this year because Jupiter is, you know, moving closer to Algol as we speak, and Uranus will hit Algol quite a lot this year. And interestingly enough, Mars, for the first time in 2 years, just happens to be in Taurus as well. So again, you know, the timing is really exponential. So I have curated the 4 week signature container around these dates because it will never ever happen again in our lives. And if you do have a strong Medusa or Algol signature in your chart, you will just feel this pull, like, holy shit, I need to be there. So the people that are in the container already, that they know that they need to be there. This is a journey. This is journeying our own monster, journeying the stair of stone, journeying our own betrayal, journeying our own power. When there is a strong Algol conjunction, you know, we become our own demons, we become our own monsters, but it's a very fascinating journey. And I've got a lot to share. The word Algol itself is derived from Al Ghul, alcohol, evil spirits, demons, beheading. I've got strong signature stories around my own beheading. In a past life, when I was a witch, I wasn't actually burnt at stakes. I was beheaded. And which makes total sense because I've got Venus exactly conjunct Algol, Medusa. It's a strong story, and not everyone has it, and it doesn't matter. I did like a little bit of a, when I shared my post around Algol, I did a little bit of a thing, and some people, you know, don't have anything hitting Algol, and that's okay. You know, I'm not, you know, yes, you might have something that's opposite or whatever, but for me, a fixed star needs to be right next to a fixed star. Like, we need that planet conjunct that fixed star, and you will feel the difference in signature there. So, and it doesn't matter if you don't have anything near 26 degrees Taurus. It really doesn't matter. We don't all have these sorts of signatures in our chart. It's not, if we did, we'd all be the fucking same, and how boring would that be? But for those who feel this pull and call, you know, there are still spots left because, of course, it's not until July, and I've only actually really promoted it once. And now that we're in the season of May, the season of the snake, and we move into May, which is literally, we go from the dragon year, the dragon month, which April has been. Have you fought your own inner dragon? Have you faced your own inner dragon? Holy shit, has there been some slaying, darlings? And the slang of our old identities, the slang of our old systems, the slang of our old expectations and values and what we think we are, and really cutting away to forge forward. And now we move to the snake, the month of the snake, who is the little dragon, who is seen as the little dragon. I feel like the snake is the 3D material version of the dragon. So it's sort of like ascension through the dragon medicine, the golden egg, the golden dragon, the green dragon, the magic of the dragon medicine. And then we get to land and anchor that with the snake, the shedding of the skin, the transformation, the stare, the hiss, the venom. And like I said, May is extra this year because this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is happening and is an undertone, and it lasts all the way through Taurus season. Just remember that, yeah? Like I've shared over the past few weeks, this is seeding a 14-year cycle. It wasn't just a one-day event. It wasn't just a three-day event. We're talking about Taurus here, the archetype of Taurus, deep, rooted, earthbound, materializing, manifesting. If you're having incredible realizations, yes, write them down, speak them, become them, embody them, experience them. A lot is happening, a lot of magic, and May really is just a real pivotal, pinnacle time. Yeah, Taurus season, Medusa season, May is the month of the snake. If you're born on the 9th, like I am, this is, you know, in the liquid crystals, 9, the number 9, so not 18 or 27, not adding up to 9, but just the 9th. So if you're born on the 9th of any month, but just 9 in general, but of course the 9th of May, it's this double snake energy, because 9 is lapis lazuli, which is around self-realization and not being under the spell of other people and not trying to put other people under a spell. I really think about that cobra energy with, you know, this is around Maya, illusion, yeah? And so when you are self-realized, you are not under the Maya or the spell of someone else. You know yourself. And that is a very strong Taurian archetype, is self-sovereignty, is self, like, is it's autonomous. It's an autonomous archetype that really pulls on their own inner resources. So that is, you know, so there's this real heightened energy. Again, we're going to we're metamorphosizing at the moment. This Aries, dragon, fire, slaying, moving towards our destiny and our future. I mean, April has been a motherfucking lot. Give yourself a high five. We are out of this. We are out of this shit show. It was, you know, and we said, like, April was the biggest, it was the biggest month of 2024. So if you felt like everything was just fucking flying high and then April put you on your ass, like, that is, you're right on track, darlings. You are right on track. I am right there fucking with you. You know, I feel like I was a bit too motherfucking cocky, to be honest, for the first few months of the year. I'm like, fucking sorry, everything's fucking amazing, la, 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 la. And boom, there goes my knee. It's like, no, 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 bitch, you fucking sit down and shut up. You have got some shedding to do. You've got to face some inner dragons. You've got to slay some identity stuff. And that is exactly what I've been doing for April. And we have, of course, April was peppered with things, you know. We've had the Chiron and North Node conjunction in Aries. We've had Mercury retrograde in Aries, which hit Chiron, the wound, but the Maverick, the medicine man, who hit the North Node, which was our destiny. You know, we've been thinking about the future. We've been thinking about who we are and who we want to become. And look, and if you're in a midlife crisis, like, well, it's not a crisis, a midlife catharsis, a midlife transit like I am, so you're maybe early 40s, we're entering our Uranus opposition, and maybe I need to do just like a nice big masterclass just for us. You know, if you are keen on that, let me know, because it's a time for us. There's a lot of questioning going on. Oh my goodness. I mean, I feel like I'm going everywhere because there's just so much juice to talk about, darlings. So let's reset. Dragon into the snake month. Medusa. Facing ourselves, you know, this Algol energy. And like I said, Jupiter only hits Algol every 12 years and Uranus every 84 years. So we will never have this again. And it is a signature of 2024. I'm just going to have a little drink because I'm a very bit thirsty. Let me find the degree that I want to read to you. Actually, yeah, let's do that. Let's read the Taurus degree of Algol, which, remember, you always read up one. So I'll be reading 27 Taurus. Let's read that. So what I am also reading you here is my Venus. If you have a planet at 26 degrees of Taurus, and so, of course, for some of you, this is your birthday. So I think the birthday is usually around the 17th of May or the 18th of May. And it's going to depend, obviously, on your time of birth, where you're born, because for some people born, they might have, say, a 27 degree Taurus sun, or some of you may have the 26 degree Taurus sun. But what I am reading here is definitely, you know, this is Algol. This is 26 Taurus I'm reading. So if you've got any planets at 26 Taurus, this is the symbol of that planet. So let's read. So I'm going to read you my Venus symbol. This is my Venus symbol. A man sculpturing hedges into animal forms. Interesting. Making a great deal of something out of almost nothing is the mark of fantasy or uninhibited imagination. You prefer to be presented with basic, simple, and ordinary things. Inside your soul, you turn these into what they originally were, releasing their primal power. The word primal is very associated with Algol. When alchemy runs this close to the bone, it is astounding what it can do. It is a very alchemical, and that's what I mean. It's whilst Algol is seen as a demon star and malefic in nature, I think that if you've got, I had quite a lot of responses of Venus and Jupiter conjunct Algol, and they are the benefic planets. So I think that there's something, I want to say lucky about that, because they're benefic planets. Okay, back to the degree. What I was sort of getting at there is the alchemy of what you can do, because we're also still in Taurus land here. We're all still in manifesting, like literally I'm about to fucking make an apple appear on my hand. Like literally, it's so close. Like if you've done any sort of alchemical work, like, oh my goodness, yeah, amazing. If you having something appear out of nothing is a pretty phenomenal feeling. So yes, when alchemy runs this close to the bone, it is astounding what it can do. Tackling long-standing knots and obstacles of every kind is sensed as nourishment and opportunity. A sacrificial incarnation can best frame itself in fantasy and imagination, and thereby hug the edge between worlds perfectly. Hug the edge between worlds perfectly. The path here is to stay under while peeking over the top, and to play it as straight as can be while coming from an irrepressible source that can come through this peculiar form with flying colors. It's a very, you know, sometimes I read these symbols to you and they're very just like that sentence lands. As you can feel with this, there's a lot of, again, alchemy going on here, magical, again, hovering between two worlds. There's something that's nearly you can't put your finger on. Very, very fascinating degree. Anyway, I just wanted to read you that. I wasn't planning to do that. I am going to read you another degree very shortly. But look, May is exponential this year because of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, both hitting Algol for the first and only time in our lives. Like I said, the Uranus will be all over Algol. And remember, Uranus is the planet of awakening. And so, yeah, you know, Algol, there it can be destruction. It's beheading. It's losing your head, losing your mind. It's destruction. It's power plays. It's violence. Yes, not going to deny. Of course, we know that there is light and shade to absolutely everything. And when it comes to a fixed star like this, there can be a lot of shade. And, you know, we think of Donald Trump, who has Algol conjunct his midheaven. You know, how does one use their power? Yeah, how does one use their power? So ultimately, this is a big month, because Uranus will go back and forth over Algol this year, because Uranus gets to 27 degrees of Taurus, which means he's very, very close to the awakening and revealing and liberation of this power. So it's going to be very interesting for us, of those who have a strong Medusa Algol signature in our charts, to see what is revealed. And like I said, if you're also in the midst of your midlife catharsis / crisis / emergency transits, as that beautiful, who is it, Cloud, Barbara Hand Cloud, talks about midlife crisis transits being a midlife, your midlife emergency. And I think that that's a really great way to put it. Yeah, because if you're midlife like me, like, whew, it is a deep time right now. You know, it is a deep, deep time. Again, I spoke a little bit about this last week, so I won't bang on too much about it. But yeah, this May is really quite exponential. It's really special as well. So I want to say, you know, where we're at now, Mercury's direct. Mercury is direct conjunct the North Node. And again, that has been a big signature of this Mercury retrograde, is again, collectively thinking about where we're heading. And your role in that, Aries. We're talking about Aries, the identity, and that is why maybe, well, hopefully you've done a lot of transformation. And this is sort of something I've shared with a couple of close friends via text or chatting or whatever the past couple of weeks, is that as humbling as this month has been with the inner slaying of your own dragons and really having to face some stuff. Because we're with Aries energy, right? This is about our identity. It's about who am I? Who do I want to be? The I am, the ego, but also the soul. Like, where are you heading? Your physical body, of course. The amount of people that have been through physical things in the past 4 weeks is exponential. Still now, people are getting sick, but it has been wild with, the injuries, the illnesses, all the things that have happened over this eclipse season, especially. And what I am hoping in reflection for you, because of course Mercury has been retrograde this entire month, pretty much, is some real revelations that will start to make sense now. Yeah, like they're going to start to make sense as Mercury moves forward. He's conjunct the North Node again as he stationed direct yesterday on the 25th. And he's going to hit Chiron again, and we're going to like tap back into our inner medicine, our inner magic, our inner alchemy itself, and our identity starting to be put back together, darlings. And then Mars, he just happens to enter his home sign of Aries on the 1st of May. So we've got some really delicious energy coming up. We've got Venus entering her home sign on the 29th of April, and Mars entering his home sign on the 1st of May. Now, these two haven't been both in their home signs at the same time together since 2022. So, of course, 2 years. It's about a 2 year, about a 2 year cycle, depending on how that goes with their retrogrades. But it's been 2 years. So, this is a really exciting time. I want to say that the revelations now that are going to start to, move forward for you, now that Mercury's direct, should be really clarifying. And I hope and that there has been some really ginormous transformations for you. That is always my hope for people, is that they're going through transformation. I just want to just preface by saying, over the next couple of days, I'm coming to you today on the 26th, but Mars is getting very, very close to Neptune. So the 28th through to the 30th, Mars hits Neptune. Mars is the planet of action and drive and energy and focus and direction and our projects, and it gives us our vitality. It gets us out of bed. And I predicted weeks ago that this Aries season, of course, was going to be no fucking typical Aries season, despite the plethora of planets in Aries. But it was going to be it's it was heavily ruled by, of course, Mars, because Mars rules Aries, who was in Pisces. And I'd said it, whether it was on my podcast or in a post or in my group or wherever I speak on all those different places, ways, shapes, and forms. There's going to be a lot of fucking tears this Aries season. I don't know about you, but I have cried gallons and gallons and oceans of Pisces tears. And now it's like the end. Mars is now going to hit Neptune. Neptune is the ruler of Pisces. And we're in a waning moon. So we've just had this watery Scorpio full moon who plunged us into the, maybe into the crevices of your soul where you didn't want to be, or shone light on some really dark, murky stuff that you hadn't faced yet. This is a good thing. This is a really good thing. Like I said at the beginning of the poddy, like for me personally, this has been a real, like, when you just start to, take the pressure off the pressure cooker and the steam starts to come out, that's what it feels like to me. There's a real release, there's a real exhale. We're really at a pivotal point, and I really have liked this week personally. It's been gentle, it's been teary, it's been emotional, and now Mars is going to hit Neptune, both in Pisces, and Mars is going to hang out at that 29 degrees of Pisces, which of course, A, is the final degree of the entire zodiac, and it's a signature degree for next year's astrology. Let me fucking give you the hot tip. Oh my God. I know I've said it, and I know I'll keep saying it, but next year's fucking crazy, weird shit. And we're gonna have Neptune hit 29 degrees for the first time in 165 years. It's nearly there. It's nearly hitting 29 degrees of Pisces. Again, I've written this degree, but I'm going to read the degree out today. But I've written this in my 2024 Energy Survival Kit. You know I look after you, darlings. I prep all of this stuff. You had access all to everything that I'm sharing back in September of 2023. You know why? Because I want you to know. I want you to know all of this shit. I want you to know these special moments like Neptune hitting the 29th, the final degree of the zodiac. Neptune being the planet of karma, dissolution, delusion, spiritual attunement, spiritual atonement, unity, oneness, oceanic bliss, transcendence, love, depression, escapism, isolation, Neptune, Poseidon. Now Mars will hit this 29th, well, they conjunct at 28 degrees, but Mars is then going to hang out at this 28, 29 degrees hitting Neptune, which won't happen again for 2 years. And Neptune's in and out of Pisces and Aries from next year, darlings. This 29 degree Pisces point, the final piece of fucking, I don't know, all of life, who the fuck knows? Like, shit is getting crazy. Shit is getting wild. And all we have is now, and to stay centered in who we are and sovereign in ourself and look at what really, really matters in our lives, because things are getting crazy. And next year we have Uranus hit the 29 degree mark. We have Jupiter, of course, hit a 29 degree mark before he goes over into another sign. We've got Lilith. We've got the nodes. We've got then the 29 degrees Pisces part of this story is exponential, because Uranus is going to hit 29 degrees of Taurus. Jupiter will hit 29 degrees of Gemini, because Jupiter's about to move into Gemini, darlings. And so we only, as I was saying before and I got off track, we only have Jupiter in Taurus in this beautiful, 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 beautiful abundant sign for just a few more weeks, and then it moves into cerebral motherfucking yang air, fucking ding, 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 ding. Like, it is going to be off tap. You will feel the difference to the first half of 2024 and the second half of 2024. I kid you not, things are going to accelerate big time with Jupiter in Gemini. Gemini, yang, mutable, so changeable, shape-shifting air sign, mercurial. Mercury retrogrades take on a whole different friggin' meaning with Jupiter in Gemini, yeah? So yes, Jupiter next year, I know I'm sort of talking about next year, but you know I'm riding my kid at the moment and this shit is wild. So yes, Jupiter will move into Cancer next year. So Jupiter will hit the 29 degree mark of Gemini, but the 29 degree mark of Pisces, the final degree in the zodiac before that 0 degree birth of Aries, that 0-0 ground level point, we have Neptune, we have Saturn also doing it, we have Mercury and Venus retrograding over that degree many times. I am not shitting you. And the nodes, the South Node, the North Node will move into Pisces 29 degrees in January. Pisces 29 degrees. So this 29 degree Pisces mark, final degree of the zodiac, is getting magnified. So I want you to actually pay attention over the next couple of days, because Mars is sort of like giving a bit of a nudge, that little arrow of like zing zing. But also I want to say that Mars hitting Neptune can be very dissolving. It can be very low energy. Maybe you feel tired. And we're also in the waning moon. So again, if you're feeling, yeah, if you are feeling tired or low or emotional or confused or a bit foggy, just relax. Like, this is a time, what I wrote here is allow the lessons to land. Okay, we're really seeing April out with allowing the lessons to land before Mars moves back home to the 0-0 Aries point, the beginning of the zodiac, to bring in a new dynamic energy, because May and June are both really delicious months this year. I want to say that. They are. They're exciting. They're delicious. There's some really beautiful conjunctions. There's some delicious stuff going on. Okay. We'll have Venus at home and Mars at home. They're both the rulers of the nodes, and they're both at home. So there's going to be something really glorious and delicious about this time. But over the next few days, as Mars hits Neptune, hits that signature 29 degrees of Pisces, allow the lessons to land. Your boundaries and your auric fields may feel porous, yeah? Like that you're just sort of like leaky energy. So just be mindful of the energy that you're leaking. Just be mindful of your own state of well-being over the next few days as we move and transition out of April into May, okay? Because we're going to feel delicious. I mean, once Venus moves into Taurus, where she's back at home, where she is finally like, yes, the next few weeks I can just lavish and luxe and bougie and sex and, food and comfort and pleasure and destiny and drive for, really just have pleasure, just have fun, just have joy. And then Mars enters his home sign just a couple of days later. It's like, yes, this action that we've been waiting for, this shift perhaps that you've been waiting for, it's coming. It is. And I don't know about you, but like I said, I can already feel it. For me, I've flicked that pressure cooker and the steam is starting to come out of the pressure cooker. And that really felt really good for me this week. Like, I talk about the energies. Even if you read my full moon in Scorpio post, some people were like, oh my God, yeah, I'm feeling so intense. I'm feeling these things. I personally wasn't, but I can feel the air, I can collectively tune into what's going on. But also we're astrologers. We're tuning into what may be possible for you, what may be felt for you, where you might need to navigate that energy with this full moon in Scorpio. The full moon in Scorpio, I was asking sort of what spells are you casting? What spells are being broken? Scorpio full moons are extremely powerful, cord cutting, psychic surgery, freaking, deeply seated stuff, muck that's in the cells and waters. Think about Scorpio fixed water. And just think about when you don't move your body somatically. I talked a lot about in my full moon post about moving shit through your body. We're in Taurus. That's the season of the body, the physical vessel. And fixed water, the opposite sign. And of course, this is Buddha. We're on the Buddha axis here. Buddha was a Taurus with a score, and we have that full moon in Scorpio, which is the Buddha full moon. Yeah. So again, this is around that enlightenment. Yeah. So the thing is that fixed water, a Scorpio full moon, carries the murkiness of stagnant water. And when you think about that, fixed energy, we know fixed is fixed. It's stubborn, it's solid. I'm just having another little drink, darlings. It's solid. It's stuck. It can feel stuck. If we don't, if water isn't flowing, what happens to it? It can grow, it can grow like mold. It can get manky. That's Scorpio terrain. That's what we're talking about here. That's the archetype of Scorpio, going to the depths, going to the underworld, eating the pomegranates, going through those dark crevices. So we've had, we, you know, we've just had all of this Scorpionic, purging and this urge to purge, and Scorpio full moons give us a powerful source of permission to cut karmic hooks out of our lives, to completely release things. I've known, gosh, I completely cut like my full mother lineage from, and completely cleared that. Excuse me, on a full moon in Scorpio years ago. Yeah. So something can happen in Scorpio full moons. And so expect that you're still going to be experiencing that energy for the next 2 weeks. So whilst, yes, we're out of eclipse season, now we're in the waning moon of a full moon in Scorpio. So it's not all fucking roses and whistles. However, like I said, maybe you're feeling similar to me where the pressure valve has released and you're not feeling like there's, you're like, ah, here we go, here we go. Here, you can feel it. It's viscerally changing. You can feel that steam, that pressure being let out. And it feels like a fucking deep exhale, let me tell you. But like I said, we've got this Mars and Neptune conjunction, Mars at 29 degrees of Pisces. And this is a time of, you know, watching your boundaries, watch leaky energy. Again, not trying to force anything. You know, this isn't, these next few days of April aren't around forcing and pushing and driving. They're around the allowing of the lessons to land. Yeah. And just really settling into that space. And then being really ready to absorb, you know, some of the juiciest weeks of 2024, which happened to be in May and a little bit of June as well. There's some really yummy stuff in June as well. But May especially, okay, May especially, because of course Venus is back at home in her, you know, in Taurus as well. So she's really amplifying that season for us. But to have Mars, you know, the lovers of the zodiac, both in their home signs after 2 years in Taurus season with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. I mean, come on, there's a lot going on here, you know, and this is an exponential Taurus season because of, well, and not just Taurus season, but year, because of Uranus hitting Algol as well. But Jupiter's going to lube that up over the next few weeks as Jupiter hits also the 26 degrees of Taurus. So, yeah, it's a big, beautiful, glorious, abundant fucking time. Like, drink it in. You know, you might feel really ambitious and goal orientated, a time to achieve, and you know, and over the next few days before Mars, because you're gonna feel this Mars moving out of the final sign of the zodiac. It's always a time every 2 years when Mars moves through Pisces. It's the last sign of the zodiac. We've got to remember karmically what we're wrapping up. Yeah, like this is a big karmic sort of, I want to say de-evolution, you know, like we're evolving and there's revolution happening, but we've got to devolve. It's sort of like we've got to really just land in stuff. We've got to defrag. We've got to cut attachments and cords. So often Saturn, yes, he is, you know, his timekeeper, he's daddy timekeeper, he's daddy karma. But Pisces and Neptune are karma. They are that is also just as karmic as a planet, as Saturn, in a different way. Yeah. So Mars only moves through these signs every 2 years. So it's very important. And because Venus and Mars both rule the nodes at the moment, remember, the south node in Libra is ruled by Venus. Venus has been in Aries. So again, we've been really slaying, you know, we've been using the sword of truth, the sword of femininity. You know, we've been really sort of tapping into that Eris energy who will disrupt. And we've got this incredible grand earth trine in the sky with Lilith in Virgo, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus, and Ceres in Capricorn. And we're being supported also with Juno, who is the asteroid of marriage. So again, there's a lot of loyalty and commitment and devotion with Juno. And Vesta in Cancer, tending the hearth fire through nurturing and through motherly love. And look, with what is going on, the feminine is rising. You know, there is some strong energetic support around the feminine energy. And with Lilith there in Virgo, there's some big, you can feel that, just, you just need to look around, right? This new feminine fire is coming out, and there's just a no more fucking attitude. And being all in earth, so having Lilith, Jupiter and Uranus and Ceres all in those earth signs, like this is around replant, like this is around new regeneration, a new way moving forward, a new foundation moving forward. And then even just Vesta being in Cancer. So all of these planets are in yin feminine signs. Yeah. So even Vesta, it's like she is the great, you know, well, she is the devotional flame that we tend to, of wisdom and sacrifice, ritual. But in Cancer, it's like, again, tending to the home and the heart, the family, the mother, sticking up for the mother, Mother Earth, the mother that you know, the mother's lives that are taken. at the hands of violence. It's all so raw at the moment, and we're feeling that, the exposure of that rawness, thanks to Lilith, who's just had a fucking enough, and we're all saying, this is enough. I mean, there's some incredible rallies going on around the country this weekend, which is just fucking amazing. And if you're not feeling furious, I don't know what you're feeling, but there's fury, there's sadness, there's loss, but it's all very deep. It's all very deep. I mean, I'm dreaming about this shit. You know, it is, it's big stuff. Yeah, it's big stuff. So we've got some really incredible, incredible stuff going on, and it's deep. You know, we've got all this stuff in Pisces, again, the water, the Scorpio full moon. I mean, it can feel like drowning, but I want to invite that sense of floating. I want to invite that sense of making a difference, or integrating something new into your life where it's not just in one ear and out the other. Scroll on by, move past it, whatever. There's some, that the earth is shaking. The earth is shifting. The cracks are becoming bigger, more prevalent. Nowhere to hide. Yeah, nowhere to hide. So, look, oh my goodness. I mean, you know, there's so much to talk about at the moment. It's pretty wild. It's pretty huge stuff. But there's something really deep and really deep undertone that's going on that I'm sure you're feeling as well. But look, I want to speak into this, like I said, you know, over these next couple of days with Mars and Neptune. Interesting that a lot of these rallies are happening over this weekend, which is the Mars and Neptune. This is spiritual warrior energy, my friends. This is like fighting for a cause, fighting for something bigger, attuning yourself to something that's universal and not just about the self, a bigger cause. So I really love, this is the perfect weekend, you know. Astrology just always works, right? You just can't make this shit up. But I do want to, you know, prep and preen you and say, look, May is coming and it's pretty fucking delicious. We're going to really feel the shift of Venus being in Taurus back at home and Mars being in Aries back at home. This is going to be a real game changer for us moving into May. But let's talk about 29 degrees of Pisces, the final degree of the zodiac, which... again, I've already got it in my energy survival kit, because Neptune gets there for the first time in 165 years over the next few days, over the next week perhaps, or just a few days. So let me read this and then I'll wrap this up, because I know I'm sort of, you know, rambling here, there and everywhere today, but that's five shots of coffee for you, right? I met up with my beautiful girlfriend today. We just sat in a coffee shop for 3 hours drinking coffee, and it was amazing and it was so good. We haven't seen each other for a couple of weeks. And, you know, if you work from home, sometimes those fucking walls just close in on you, don't they, darlings? You know, I love working from home. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think, I've always worked in places very autonomously, which just makes sense. You know, it makes sense to me, my chart, the way I, you know, the way I am. I mean, working in an office, my God, like to be a fly on the wall, darlings, like how interesting that dynamic is. I always find it very fascinating hearing very normal world stories of work environments, because it's just never been something that I've done. I mean, even when I was working in the crystal shop for nearly 10 years, it was by myself, you know. I've always worked maybe in customer service and always loved chatting to people and connecting with people for sure. I've always just worked by myself though. But for those of you who work from home and everything is at home, those walls, I said to my bestie today over coffee, I was like, you know, when the old school freezes and you haven't defrosted the freezer for a while, and that freezer, it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. It's just like encapsulating, and then like you can't fit anything into it anymore. It's just like, yeah. And she knows, because she has a home office and she has a family business. So she's at home again, the same as me. We just work from home, live from home, do everything from home. And because I've been bound up with my knee, I haven't even been able to get to the gym. I mean, bar going to the sauna now every now and again, and, you know, doing some groceries and things like that. I haven't really been getting out, which, you know me, I love my bat cave. But then there's other times where you're just like, motherfucker, get me out of this bat cave. And yeah, so it was really nice. We spent 3 hours together Just drinking coffee. So I'm all zing zanged up, darlings. I'm all zing zanged up. And so you're just getting all of me today, which you always do. But there's just so much exciting, juicy stuff to talk about and moving, Mercury moving direct, this clarity that's coming through and these revelations. And it's really delicious. So in this next, week before I come back, I'll jump back in. I'm actually flying out to New Zealand next Friday, for my husband's granddad's, 90th. So beautiful time with the whānau coming up. I'm going to have 4 days in New Zealand. So I'll sort of be offline when it comes to that sort of stuff. But I will, potentially I aim. Please bear with me if I don't, but I do aim to do a podcast before I fly out. But I've still got quite a lot on next week as well. So if you don't hear from me next week, just know that that's why, darlings. And I will be back in business. I actually have a really incredible podcast that will be coming. And maybe if I don't have the time, I can just release that. Actually, it's a really good idea. It's just landed for me right then as I'm speaking, as things do. I'm having my first interview with someone in this. Oh, I think he's in the States. He has an incredible Instagram account that I love, and he's agreed to come and chat with me on next week. So I'm very excited. So yes, actually, if I don't get my own podcast up, I will release that one for you, and there'll probably be a video. So some exciting things coming, and yeah, I'm really, really pumped to chat to him. But yes, darling, look, here we are. I'm 5 shots into the day. I mean, fuck, it's 3:10, darlings. Jeez Louise. Anyway, I'm looking at my time and I'm like, oh, 51 minutes. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's read the final degree of the entire zodiac, which just gets activated over and over and over and over and over again in 2025 and even into 2026 a little bit, but especially 2025. Fuck, I am writing so much about this. For my 2025 energy survival kit to give you dates and prep you and just for you to know when these things are going on. Because, yeah, the fact that even the North Node lands here at this 29th degree, the Mercury and Venus retrograde, both of them, they go from Aries over this 29th degree of Pisces 3 times. So, like I said, pay attention over these next couple of days with Mars hitting this 29th degree of Pisces and Neptune. Neptune's going to be there for a big chunk of this year. Yeah. So this is the degree. And then I will love you and leave you to your Friday. A large halo in ring formation around the moon. And hey, that full moon had a bit of a halo around it just recently. The Earth is pregnant with alternate futures. Each of her progeny, progeny. I might be pronouncing that wrong. Each of her progeny, each possible future. Okay, let me just do this again. The Earth is pregnant with alternate futures. Each of her progeny, each possible future could become the one chosen. The criteria center around whichever future stream is most genuinely surrendered to the highest will. So the criteria center around whichever future stream is most genuinely surrendered to the highest will. It is the same microcosmically as macrocosmically. Many souls are pregnant with alternate futures. The one that prevails will likely be the one most surrendered to the absolute, the most rightful. You feel burstingly full of visions, possibilities, worlds, and streams. And you know that so very much shall pass away. But what is essential will keep on coming. It is very hard to tell who is who and what is what, which way to lean or how to conceive the way it shall go. But if you stay rooted in your inward awareness and enduring core sensibility, you will be tapped as a vessel for what it is to be. And that is all you need to know. So there's such an element of trust, deep surrender and trust. The ideas that you are pregnant with, the alternate futures that we can go on. This is quantum, okay? This degree is quantum realities in motion. What are you choosing? What are the possibilities? You're bursting full of these visions and worlds and alternate futures. What are you pregnant with? What are you conceiving? Yeah, it's so interesting. And so interesting, like it's so perfect to be the final, degree of this, of the zodiac, right? It is. Again, so much of the message is to trust and surrender. And in saying that, you know, I'm going to talk, you know, I will hold a master class around Jupiter in Gemini, but it's more than that. I want to hold this master class around the slip streaming into the new consciousness, because the Gemini house is so important for all of our futures in our own charts. I really want to do a nice big sort of 2-hour juicy conversation around that. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to be a Gemini, have your sun, moon, or rising in Gemini. I think this is a master class for everyone, because we're about to have, because we are slipstreaming into a brand new consciousness. That is what the master class will be called. Jupiter in Gemini is really paving the way for Uranus, and we've had a lot of stuff before that. And you know, I want to be sort of accessing and chatting a little bit about that. There's some big stuff. There's some huge stuff coming. But for now, let's just focus on now. I really wish you a beautiful weekend of deep surrender. Allow all the April lessons to land, darlings. You've slayed some dragons. You've re-identified who you are and what you want. Maybe you've done some real beautiful, beautiful pivots in your identity. And, you know, there's been some deep transformation that. I don't know. Hopefully for you, I know for me, it's brought me to, you know, it's had me crying a lot of tears. And over this weekend, as Mars meets up with Neptune, and we allow these lessons to land, and we really just, you know, watch escapism, watch those sort of that need to, you know, get yourself out of your body or get yourself out of your life, and think that the grass is greener on the other side. Really be in it this weekend. You know, really feel what it is to feel everything that you are feeling, everything that you are experiencing. Yeah, be really mindful, really lean into it, and get ready for May, darlings. It's a very, very exciting month, and I cannot wait to journey with you. And I'm just wishing you so much love. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of this incredible space that we get to journey with. I'm so, so grateful. Journey well, darlings. So much love.